Hello, gladiators. Yes, it used to be mano a mano here on No Pawns, but now it's website versus website. It's country versus country. Coming to you live from Dusseldorf, it's international No Pawn with Finland, Scotland, Ireland, and somewhere else. Okay, let's kill the sound of it there. As you can see, we're all perfectly in sync. It's time to play No Pawn. I'm Ewan Spence, the quiz master for the Game of Kings. It's Eurovision trivia, so perhaps that should be the Game of Queens. But we have four contestants ready to do battle over Eurovision trivia, song contest knowledge. But let's start off with our only returning champion. He's the only person that's been on the quiz before. He's the only person here that's actually won No Pawns before. He's won for three. He is David Elder.
How are we all?
Well, I'm doing very well. David, of course, to be perfectly fair, we're website versus website. So
yes.
Today you're representing...
The Scotsman, thank you very
much. Not ESC Insight.
No, not ESC Insight.
Okay, we're not having any bias whatsoever.
Do I get bonus points for that?
You don't get bonus points for that, no. So, let's see, who shall we have next? You'll have recognised him from our daily chat shows. He's also been a jukebox jury judge. He's managing the trifecta in under 5 days, which I believe is a record. Representing ESC Daily, it's Luke Fisher.
Rolling, 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 though the streams are swollen, keep them doggies rolling, roar.
Good evening, Ewan.
Are you worried?
I am quite concerned, looking at the other contestants who have a plethora of Eurovision knowledge compared to my tender age.
The amazing thing is, if you multiply your age by 10 and add up all their ages, there's still more. Which is going to lead to a very interesting scoring system. And now, blood rivals, or at least it is for this introduction, for the other ESC and five letters after it, ESC Today, representing them and Finland, we have Paradise Oscar, Juha Repo.
Hello.
Hello. It's going to be... very few words, I suspect, from you, huh? But are you looking forward to this?
Bit scared. We'll see how it goes.
Have you listened to the quiz before?
I haven't, I have to admit. So
this could
going to be
interesting.
Interesting.
Yes. And in
I'll
the...
just slip into Finnish.
In the green and orange corner, because who knows nowadays, the man who has forgotten more about Eurovision than David has forgotten... twice, which is an impressive lineup. He's been a judge for RTE. He's wearing a baseball cap that's been signed by NSYNC. It is from all kinds of everything, Keith Mills.
That'll be me. Hello, you.
Indeed. So, green or orange?
I'm thinking of a nice shade of pink, green.
A nice
just got
shade
his lipstick
of
stick on. I think.
Now, normally we would start scoring, but as I've not explained the scoring system, Luke's just went a little bit too early. That's youth showing through there, a little bit of exuberance. Okay, if you don't hold the microphone up, David, we can't hear you and you can't score points for it.
Oh, right.
Points are scored for things that are quite interesting, so it's points for punditry, 1 point for an interesting fact or piece of trivia, 2 points if it's pretty much astounding, and if you can imagine something wonderful and amazing that nobody else is aware of, it's 3 points. Be warned, though, you can lose points if you rely on Wikipedia too much or quote from the official history of the Eurovision Song Contest by John Kennedy O'Connor. Which will cause problems when John enters this quiz, but we'll get over that problem whenever you go for. We have 5 rounds of Eurovision knowledge. We'll then go for an open round and asking our contestants to basically do punditry on any topic under the sun before we lead into our final round to defend the indefensible as we ask our pundits to show their punditry merits by basically agreeing with whatever I say for 20 seconds. Now, before we go on, of course, who has got notes with them? Say who's got notes. Luke, do you have notes with you?
I have a piece of paper with the questions written on them.
And you have stuff written at the side?
Affirmative.
Right, okay, so that's minus five for swatting up. David, do you have points with you?
Nothing.
Use the microphone. You have to share it with Yuha.
I who have nothing.
There we go. Yuha, do you have any notes with you?
No, I have no
Keith,
notes.
Keith, do you have any notes with you?
No notes.
Okay, so Luke starts with minus five. David?
Can I just argue on that point?
I'd be very careful about arguing with the quizmaster in this format.
I was just going to say how lovely your kilt looks.
Okay, you've got 5 points back. Well done. Okay, David, you're subbing for Paul Jordan.
Yes, uh-huh,
Paul's
absolutely.
Paul's on minus 25 from this morning for quoting Celine Dion, so you start on minus 25.
Bomb. Right, okay.
There we go. But you get 5 points back for not swearing on the air. That's good. So you're starting on minus 20, but we'll let you go first the first question. So it's time to get started and see where we go. With 15 second place finishes in the Eurovision Song Contest, the United Kingdom holds at least one record. Will they equal it this year with Blue, or will the moral victory that doesn't cost a fortune so we don't have to host the contest in next year belong to another country? In short, in 2011, 5 days' time, who's going to finish second? David.
The country that's going to finish second in the 2011 Eurovision Song Contest is not the United Kingdom. It is, in fact, France. What we're going to see is a role reversal of the 1977 contest, where, of course, Marie Myriam beat Lindsay DePaul and Rock Bottom and Mike Moran and all that jazz. Probably should have been the other way around that year as well, but hey-ho. This year is going to be the UK's victory, so France is going to get the runner-up position. It's going to be Amina all over again, except we're going to be way in front of at the end.
So there we go. Obviously, of course, pundits can disagree with other pundits if you'd like to attempt to score. Luke, we'll go to you next with the experience of second in the microphone here in the recording studio we have at Dusseldorf. Who's going to come second this year?
I'm going to disagree with David, and I'm actually going to say that the UK could quite easily come second this year, but not coming any close to winning. I think France could win by a landslide if Europe gets it, and that the UK will sort of do a Ciara in 2005. It'll come nowhere near winning, but slot in as we get into the final sort of five or so juries. I don't see us winning, but I can see us scoring a second place.
Yeah, I can't see a landslide this year.
You fancy a landslide? So
no, I can't see.
You can't see the landslide. Okay, Yuha, take us through second place for you then.
I think I might disagree with Mr. Elder a little bit here. I think that France will be number two, because my theory is that UK normally only can get second to Ireland, usually, and Ireland's no way going to win. Okay, you ruined my theory by telling how UK became second to France, but...
What do you mean Ireland's nowhere going to win? You think Ireland have absolutely no chance whatsoever?
They must have a chance, but it's not as likely as a big...
So they have a little bit of a chance.
A little bit of a chance,
okay.
Yes.
Rules of punditry, never change your mind. Minus one for you, Har, there. Okay, carry on.
Yes, my answer is France.
The answer is France. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to first of all argue with you in terms of Ireland having a chance.
Okay, that's
Ireland
what we want.
Ireland has every much of a chance as the UK has. I really don't think there's very much between the songs. Yes, Blue are better known, but so far vocally, I don't think I've heard much of a difference between Jedward and Blue singing their songs live. I know that's going to be controversial.
Of course, I probably didn't even say that Blue was going to be number one. I said France is second, so...
Okay, so you're going for a UK. Okay, right. And I think who's going to be second, I'm going to go for a dark horse. I think it's going to be Bosnia that are going to be second.
Nah. And you're getting agreement from the other pundits. Now,
yeah,
that's
I agree.
A good sign.
I can see that quite easily. Mm-hmm.
I think it's just not enough magic to win, but could definitely... get a lot of points from the Balkans, a lot of diaspora points from all over the Balkans, lots of neighbourly points, da-da-da-da, and could very... And I mean, there is a history of songs like Lanamoya and the rest coming second, so, you know, that kind of stuff.
So there we go. There we have the scores to add up at the end of that one. It's pretty close, I have to say. So let's start the music off and realise that by pretty close, I mean that David Elder is on minus 18, which is an impressive score for an opening round. Yuha is sitting in third place on 1 point. Keith, 3 points there coming up through. But Luke, with a little bit of support for the other pundits, a little bit of crawling and a little bit of throwing in on other answers, he is our doogie of the hour and is sitting there nicely on 4 points. So we shall move on. Four more questions. Of course, you can leave your comments, plaudits and punditry yourself back at the website, www.escinsight.com. Obviously, we're here in Dusseldorf. It's the weekend in between the tech rehearsals, the dress rehearsals. All the fun is going to start next week. But we've had a chance now to see everybody in dress rehearsals. Sorry, in tech rehearsals. Dress rehearsals next week. Minus 1 point for the host. Simple question for you all. And Keith, I'll start with you on this one. What song shouldn't be here?
Just one.
Well, if you give me just one, you score 1 point. If you give me three, you get 3 points, if it's good trivia.
I will give you four songs, and they're all here because, well, they shouldn't be, and they're all here for the very, very same reason. And it's what I would call...
Well, in that case, yep.
It's the curse of Lena Philipson. It's where a singer goes to a national selection, has a great song that people look back and go, that should have gone, and then they turn up with an inferior song, and then they go. And there's four acts like that this year. So there's the boy from Macedonia, who was...
Vlatko.
Vlatko, who was on a tiebreak, only last
I'm going to say, what's his full name?
Ilyevsky,
because you just said the boy from Macedonia. I don't think he's covering himself. But no.
I don't want to show off.
You're not going to win, man.
also Eric Sade, who should have been there possibly with Man Boy last year, and is now getting there with the much inferior popular.
Could I just say, actually, it is Saade. That's the technical Lebanese pronunciation.
Okay, so we have a point for David for doing good knowledge and pronunciation. We have a minus
How do
point.
We know that he's right.
Well, we don't. We also have a minus point for him being a big swotty show off.
Exactly.
And he gets another point taken off for acting like a child when he's a point taken off.
Mm-hmm. Might be a bit of a giveaway with Eric calling, saying that his new album might be called Saade today in the press conference.
You might be getting detention, David, at this rate.
And we all know what happens in detention. And a point for Luke for setting me up for a nice joke. Right then, carry on, Keith.
And then there's Evelyn from Lithuania, who had a great song last year. And then she absolutely... What? Dirge of a song that she has ended up with this year. I mean,
it's 2 points for that one. Yeah,
that's another song that really shouldn't be here at all. And then there's a fourth one, and I'm going to have points last year because I can't remember who it is off the top of my head.
Yeah, you are. You're right. Points lost.
There is somebody here.
Keep going. There's another point gone.
Malta.
Can I get the points back?
It's Malta. It's Glenbella.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Glenbella.
So you lost 2 points on hesitation, and Luke takes your points. Okay, cool. He hasn't even had his answer yet.
That's true.
But go on. Justify and get some.
You're writing things down. That's it. All
that's why you started with minus five.
I personally think this works at Eurovision as well. There are some winners like Estonia 2001. When they should have won in 2000, people felt sorry for them and let them win with a much worse song in 2001.
Now, Juha, well done. Now that is supreme punditry. Did everybody hear what Juha did there?
Yes.
He didn't answer the question that we gave him because he doesn't have an answer. He answered another one. So you get minus one for not answering the question, but you also get plus three for supreme punditry skills. Congratulations. Luke.
Yeah, I agree with Keith on Macedonia there, because not only was it a tiebreak, he won the public vote last year and was knocked out because their tiebreak rule was, if it's a tie, the jury goes forward.
Unlike any other country.
Yeah, unlike a lot of other countries. I've got a couple that I don't think should be here. The first one, I'm going to be controversial, and I'm going to say Iceland shouldn't be here. I'm going to say Iceland only won because of the sympathy vote. Although now, I think when you look at it on stage, you can see it for all its merits. I think they had a good final after some dreadful semis and should have actually picked Astamin Ena or the up-tempo song that came second in the end. I would have gone for that. I don't think Portugal... Sorry, Juha.
True, yeah, I'm just agreeing with this. There was a good selection of songs, and it's a shame that they almost didn't have a chance.
I'm going to say Portugal shouldn't be here. The song. They're very welcome at Eurovision, obviously. I think they had better songs in their national final, and I see this as a backward step for Portugal. They hadn't qualified for so long. 2008, they qualify with a great song. 2009, they qualify again. Last year, they qualified when a lot of people didn't expect it. Now was the time to sort of up the ante in Portugal and say, look, we can qualify with good songs. People that are slightly more famous, come and have a go, kind of thing. And the other one I'm going to, slightly controversial for the Eurovision fans, is Israel. I do not think Dana International should be here. She won the national final because she's Dana International, and she has got an absolute, to quote, dirge
It's yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. Totally with Luke on that one, because Ding Dong only got through because of Danny International's name. There were better songs in the Israeli final, although the production values, it made every song sound exactly like it was being sung through a bowl of porridge. But
so are you slagging off porridge?
No, I'm not.
Good say.
Absolutely not, but it doesn't make the best microphone aid. But so Danny International, no way should she be here.
Well, yes, a bit controversial as well here. I never got to tell which song I didn't want this year, so I'm going to say it now. And I'm going to go quite typically say Belarus shouldn't be there. I think there's something reprehensible about Eurovision quiz dancing along to this jolly tune, thinking that it's actually all right to like Belarus, that is a nasty country where nasty things happen, and it shouldn't be there.
Juha picks up 3 points in the hallelujah.
The thing with Belarus, though, is if it was called I Love Everyone, it would actually be perfectly acceptable. It's the whole nationalist element and how unpopular Belarus is in a lot of places that's going to cost them about 50 points.
Sometimes you just misjudge the mood, Luke. It happens.
If it was called I Love Summertime, which would scan, it would be absolutely perfect, and I think people would be tipping it to go into the final.
Right, okay, well, what I would like to see here is I'd like to show my caring, sharing side. I think I would like to look after the ears of the people of Europe and not have that Belgian thing in the contest. It's
ding,
absolutely
ding, ding, dong.
Abhorrent. I've said this before, I said it in Jukebox Jury, I'll say it again, I'll say it till the day I die. It's vile, it has no place in this contest. Nobody attended the press conference today, nobody even went into the hall to hear them sing, and I use the word sing advisedly. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. The other song I don't think should be in the contest is A Friend in London from Denmark, simply for the fact that it should have been Le Freak because it was Schlager Fabulosity, and I loved it. So there you are. So
the thing with Belgium is they had a good-ish selection procedure. After some initial reservations, it produced a good final. They could have sent at least 3 or 4 other songs. Steve Linden, The Blind Girl on the Piano. They were all, I don't understand how this got there.
Now, if you're looking for the one country that, if you're going to call the country who got their selection wrong. Latvia.
Oh, God, yes.
Banjo Laura.
Was a winner.
Was an absolute winner.
Oh, no. The song was a winner, but he couldn't perform to save Toffee.
No, it needed work on the performance. I fully accept that.
Can I disagree with Keith on that? The country that got their selection wrong was the Ukraine. Jamala and Smile.
Oh, my God, no.
That was a Eurovision winner.
No, it was vile.
Absolutely it was.
No, yodeling is something like playing the bagpipes. It's an acquired taste, and you shouldn't do it.
You say that, but yodeling came second at Junior Eurovision 2 years ago.
And that's not a reason why it should be.
That's a good point. That's not a reason why it should be here. Right then, let's tot up the scores on that one, because we all do want to try and find out where the Swiss jazz party is this evening. So let's just lean over, have a round, and find out how our pundits have been doing. David is rapidly doing his best to make up that loss inflicted by Paul Jordan. He's climbed himself up to -8 points. If we take away the positive negative sign, we have third place in Juha with 8 points, starting to get into the swing of things. Keith, 10 points, and taking up the front, Luke, by virtue of answering everybody else's question, then having a go, pulls up on 16 points there. Right then, we're going to go the other way now. David, your caring side is about to come through, and you may have a go at this one. Going the other way, we've looked at the bad Eurovision songs this year. Now let's look at the classics, or at least the songs that have the potential to become classics. Which songs are we going to be singing from this year's contest in 10 years' time? And this is a quick fire round, so less than a paragraph.
I think the song we're going to be singing in 10 years' time is in Corsican, and I think it's going to be France, actually.
Can you sing it now?
Son you... La 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 la.
That would be a no then. Yeah. So 1 point for good guess.
I thought that was Go West by Willis Beeple.
Oh! Do you know what I've got hiding here? I've got a little bell hiding here. There we go. Right, Juha, which one are we going to be doing in the future?
I am undecided. You said quickfire round. We got some songs that sound like 2011, we have the UK, we got Ireland, that, and we got Germany that sound 2011, so they probably won't be classics because they sound modern now. Then we got Lithuania, we got Switzerland that sound like they were from the 50s. So maybe one of them will live another 50 years on because it could have been 50 years old now.
Did you actually name a song in there? Or did
Switzerland.
You named Switzerland, yes. Okay, right then. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Keith?
I think there's two. One will be for the innuendo value, and that's Germany. I think people will have...
Whoa. Paul Jordan is not here. We do not need a substitute. Please tread carefully.
All right. Okay. Well, okay, then. I think Paul Jordan has probably done all the taken by a stranger jokes.
He has, yes, as has Danny.
All right, okay. And the other one is possibly going to be even more controversial. I think that Jedward's lipstick has got a chorus that people will actually remember in 10 years' time, whether you like them or whether you don't. I don't know what they'll be doing. They'll probably have grey quiffs at this stage, like Paul Jordan. And you'll forget.
Points are slagging off other pundits. There we go, Keith.
But I think people will remember lipstick and will dance and sing along.
Is it going to be a classic, though? Because that was what the question said. It says, which is going to be a classic?
It depends on whether you consider Ben Bomb to be a classic.
Well, David does. Who else agrees that Ben Bomb would be a classic? Yes or no?
Luke? It's a classic disco filler.
Ben Bomb, definite classic.
Okay, yeah. Then lipstick
will be a classic. There we go, democracy rules.
We will remember Jedward like we remember Tattoo now, but we don't remember Tattoo's song, though.
Lipstick is
2 points,
memorable.
David, if you can sing Tattoo. That would be a no, then.
The only line I remember that is Moist Boys from Brazil.
Keep sneaking in a note.
David, that was more tuneful than Tattoo.
In fairness to you, Luke, anybody would be more tuneful.
Moist Boys from Brazil.
Actually, in fairness, Jedward would be more tuneful. So, Luke, your classics.
My classic, I'm going to go Estonia. I think that's the kind of thing, just the counting's quite weird. It's a disco filler. I think it's going to do reasonably well when it gets into the final. I think that's one that you will hear at the Euro bash going forward to get people on the floor. Estonia.
Mm. Oh, who squeaked? Mm. Oh, Keith is squeaking. You're getting old there, son, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Is it too late to go back to Tattoo? I thought the lyrics were screechy voices, no brassiere. I lost my boyfriend.
That's Finnish humour, isn't it? I can't be racist. I better give him a point. Right then. So let's go for the scores on that one. It's the golden envelope round next, so that's going to prove very interesting. Bring up the scores as I do the addition very quickly. David, you've slipped back a little bit, I have to say. You're back on minus 11 now, unfortunately. Juha is rapidly catching up, taking 11 points there. Luke has slipped back. He's now on 17. And Keith is also on 17. We have a tie for first place at the halfway mark in the contest here. No Puan. Everybody can now have 5 seconds to plug their own website. Luke, you go first.
Yes, escdaily.com for things.
Keith?
All kinds of everything.ie, the Irish Eurovision website. We're 9 years in existence. We've got that best blog anywhere. We keep for Eurovision, and it's always the place to go for them that tells it like it really is at Eurovision.
Because this is obviously a non-point scoring round. You're just getting Google SEO rankings. Juha?
ESCtoday.com, been around for what seems like forever.
Oh, yeah.
Going up, going down, hopefully going up at this very moment. Stick with us.
Whatever Russell's doing in his own bedroom, we don't want to know. And David?
Mine is quite simply www.scotsman.com. It is a national publication, of course.
It's an Edinburgh publication.
It's national in Scotland.
Are you trying to imply you're a proper journalist?
Yes, absolutely, darling. And you will find my piece online next week. Thank you.
You will find your piece online? Absolutely. I think we're going to make this a scoring round. Right then, let's move on. You write your song in English, you translate it for the national finals, and then you translate it back to English again for the Eurovision stage. At least that's the accepted wisdom. But which songs in Eurovision history have suffered the most in translation? Which have been mangled by English, and which should have just been left alone and sung natively? Now, this is a golden envelope round. If you can match the answer that I'm going to write down on this piece of paper here, you will score a bonus 10 points. Now, I've not written it down yet. David, can you remind our other pundits what happens if you try to read the golden envelope answer?
You get points taken off.
How many points are taken off?
1,500.
Not 1,500. No, we take off 5 points. But I've not written it yet. We'll see how they get on. David, first up.
Hello.
I'm going to write the answer down while you do the other. You give your answer, and I will pass mine over.
Right, I was thinking about this earlier, and my answer to this is going to be Darja Schweiger from Slovenia in 1999. I think it was called something like 4,000 Years, and it had a fab line in it in the English translation, which was something like about the sun shines out your arse, I seem to remember.
In Slovenia?
No. Yeah, well, that was what she sung. It was lovely in Slovenian, but she sung it in English, and it wasn't lovely anymore, sadly. So that would be my answer for that one. Thank you.
Can you remember how it goes?
No.
Yeah, good, well done. Learning from your mistakes. I'll give you a point for that one. Look.
Yeah, I got a couple. Sticking with the Slovene theme, I know it never made it to Eurovision, but 2008, Vragnaj Vrzame, that they translated to heavy weather. I mean, it was dreadful. The whole song was about going to hell, and they made it into some dreadful song. I've got a couple one from a couple of years ago. Bosnia, 2003. I know it was a 50-50 language, but to translate Nebrini, don't worry, to could it be, is it true, I was fool, who would die for you, really didn't do well. Yeah. And from Albania, usual suspects of this, 2005, they should have left that in Albanian. They translated it to Tomorrow I Go, which really didn't make much sense. But from this year, this year's Albanian song for the immortal line, I feel on my lips your morning dew. The Netherlands...
It's a very popular soft drink, I'll have you know.
You've just killed whatever sponsorship deal I was lining up now with the Coca-Cola company.
Very...
2 points for the pun, minus one for the commercial implications.
The Dutch today that were telling us that though the road is long, there are golden gardens at the sweet end of your trail...
Right. And if ever there was a euphemism.
So in the Golden Garden, I think, is obviously Michael von der Heide. Yeah. And I know, again, this is slightly cheating because they didn't bring this to Eurovision, but Croatia, they did Lahoa in the national final, came out and reprised it when they won. Break a leg with every step you take.
Yes.
I mean, how dreadful was that?
Yes. Are you saying that celebrate is better?
Well, the fact that she sings it as celibate, no, but... It's a marked improvement.
Well, mine's a bit controversial because this song actually won Eurovision. So, contesting my own argument.
But that's fine. You can still mangle it and win and score points
this
on this one.
Denmark 2000 that had a lovely lyric in Danish. They were singing about this lady that was pretty as a shooting star still after all these years had gone. And we were hearing about flying on the wings of love. What on earth does that mean? What are the wings of love?
Yes, but the way it sounded in Danish was smoked salmon sandwiches. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So yes. Everybody else would have picked it up as smoked salmon sandwiches, which are very appealing, but not necessarily a Eurovision creation.
And Danish isn't necessarily the most pleasant language to many ears easily.
He says coming from Finland.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for saying that, Keith. Point for helping out the quizmaster there. Keith, yeah, let's have your answer there as well.
Okay, I don't believe that I'm referencing Lena Philipsson for the second time, but I am.
Yes, and good shout.
Her song was interesting, and it was and quite acceptable in Swedish. But unfortunately, having a mid-40s woman straddling microphone in a mini dress screaming, "It hurts, oh, it hurts," in the middle of the night was probably not the best idea that Sweden ever had.
Not to mention the grammatical error in the lyrics.
And the way she straddled that microphone stand as she went on with it.
Yeah, there's a pole dancer lost in your love.
So there we go. We'll take that now. The golden envelope. I will ask my judge to lean over the corner and say hello, Charlene.
Hello.
Just read out what we have for the winning. So you can't read my handwriting, can you? The winning, which would have scored you your bonus points, was, I kind of hinted at it before, it was George's winning song in Junior Eurovision 2008. It was Bisky B, the made-up song with a made-up language about the noise that bees make as they fly around singing.
Stunned silence.
The stunned silence that all the Sweden fans had at the end of Eric Saade's rehearsal.
Oh, sneaking in an extra point there, Luke, which is actually going to be pretty vital as we look to the scores coming through on this one. As always, you can leave your comments, not just on the website, but back on Facebook and Twitter as well. David is rather impressively moving back up again. He's on -7. It would have been a good score if it hadn't been for Paul Jordan this morning, which is pretty typical of Paul. Yuha has slipped behind in terms of the total of points, sitting there on 14. Running off, though, into the lead, the Keith and Luke are looking to take the two places in our final round. 24 to Keith, 26 to Luke. Right then, it's the final Eurovision question. We'll have any other business after that as well as the last chance to score points. But speaking of that stunned silence, there is a sneaky suspicion that Sweden would have really liked to have sent Man Boy as their song to the 2011 Eurovision Song Contest. And I do get the feeling that Norway would much rather have sent Paul Simon doing Gracelands than Stella Mwangi's number this year. Given the entire musical back catalogue available to each country, not just Eurovision songs, and if we ignore the "it must have been published and performed after September the 1st, 2010 rule, so there's no airing rule, you have the entire back catalogue, which song from each country that you'd represent, and overall, so you've got two chances at the answer here, is would you substitute into this year's Eurovision lineup? David runs for the microphone. Go.
It's not an original song, but I think we could have won Eurovision sending Susan Boyle singing I Dreamed a Dream. So there you are.
Stunned silence again. Okay.
I'm just going on all the YouTube hits that she got, and then she just went viral around the world, and a viral Susan Boyle is something not to be toyed with.
That might actually get you close to getting null, which I don't actually think we've had a null points on null points ever before.
Yeah, but I started on -25.
You win. You don't win for null points. Yes, the Jan Tygen Memorial Gift goes to David Elder this year. Look.
Yeah, seeing as David's done the UK, can I represent Austria?
If you'd like to, yes, you can represent Austria.
It's actually a national final entry, but I'm going to say, maybe if they didn't, they would have looked at Oida Towns from the national final, which was this big Styrian dance number coming in on tractors from Trakshitters.
Trakshitters, you can't beat a name like Trakshitters.
You can if you have to do an SBS news report every day.
And that they sang in the Austrian dialect that is what I've learned to speak as well, which just made it so much more funny. But going on entire musical back catalogues, I'm going to go to Belgium and go to the summer hit, and a lot of people think he's French, but he's Belgium. Alors on danse. The massive club hit from the summer is sung by a Belgian.
Stromae.
Yeah, and
Keith mopping up your points here, by the way.
I couldn't remember his name, but that would have been such a better song than Wittlof Bay.
Anything would have been a better song.
But if they could go to something contemporary Belgian that's in French, because it's the French broadcaster this year, Alors on danse would have been it.
I'll give a bonus point for anybody that can name any song at Eurovision that's been worse than Wittlof Bay.
Ping Pong, Be Happy.
Do the rest of the panel pundits agree?
Worse than Wittlof Bay.
Ping Pong was out of tune.
Hands up if Ping Pong was worse than Wittlof Bay.
I've got one. Heute in Jerusalem by Christine Simon in Jerusalem in 1979.
Okay. Still not convincing the rest of your pundits.
I think Tora Zo takes the award. Tora Zo.
Z-Rack Sport.
Keith, you didn't convince a panel, but your lyric recollection is far better than David, so there's a point there for that one. Yuha, do you want to give a go at that bonus question?
I probably have too many to mention. There are some weak efforts. Even if I'm not a fan of Wittlof Bay either, I can't think of just one song now.
Honesty, that's good. I like that. Let's have your answer, though, on this one. National back catalogues, what would you go for?
I was thinking of the UK, said something like Shine by Take That, but of course we can't get anything that good. We got the second choice, we got Blue this year. Something, I could go back to Finland. I just came back to me, Bomb Funk MC's Freestyler. That might have worked. That would have been ahead of his time in 2000. Anything by those producers that would work today.
Just on Blue there, it's something for the panel. I know I'm not the quizmaster, but if you could go back to any other Blue song, would you take I Can or would you put one of their other ones in?
That would involve me remembering other Blue songs.
And that's a very good point. When I heard Blue's names, and then I mean, I own
somewhere in my house every blue CD single. And somebody asked me to list their hits when they were announced.
That should actually reduce points.
And I couldn't remember a single one of their songs.
I love that. You had no, take points off him. He has all the blue albums. to be honest, I actually, when they said blue, I went through their back catalogue mentally. And it took me about three songs to realise that I was actually singing five instead of blue. Thankfully, I'm not scoring myself. Mm. But yes, Keith, you are going to lose a point for that one. But you has also going to lose a point for telling the quizmaster what to do.
I haven't had my chance to answer that question.
That's okay. I'm going to come to you now.
Okay, very good.
Would you like your chance to answer that
Thank
question?
Thank you very much, Ewan.
You're welcome.
And I think the obvious one here is Greece. But they've got Greek pillars and all the rest of it. They wanted the theme from Zorba the Greek. It's quite obvious they wanted. They had the dancers in place. They had the Greek columns in place. They had the singer who could sing, hum along with it. That's what they wanted as their song.
Couple of plates smashing.
Yeah, exactly.
So there we go. That is our last round on the Eurovision knowledge. We're going into any other business. It's basically tell us something we don't know. You can have an open goal and talk about pretty much anything you like. It is still all to play for. David would really like to get up to no point. He's getting very, very close to it on minus five. Yuha, there's a chance to catch up here. He's sitting on 20 because Keith is kind of stalled there on 28. Luke has got very slightly ahead and is sitting on 30. It's a tough guess. We're looking for the top two to go into our final round. So let's go on any other business. And traditionally, we will go for the person that is in the lead to put the stake on the ground. Luke.
Okay, I study Serbian, so I'm going to go to the Yugoslav national finals, Jugovizia, which were far more political, forget your Bergen block votes, etc. in Melody Grand Prix. This was a complete joke of politics, especially towards the end of Yugoslavia. Most of the entries were either Croatian or Serbian, with the odd Slovene one chucked in, but every constituent authority province in Yugoslavia sent an entry. So the Albanian one from Kosovo generally came last because
nobody
wanted to
likes
vote for
Kosovo.
It. And it was in Albanian. Mm. And Julie was the Montenegrin entry, one of few Montenegrin entries that actually made it.
There were two of them and they were back to back.
Yeah. And this actually should never have won. Macedonia was leading this and had by far the better song, or was by far the favourite to win. But they came in and said, our jury is not going to vote politically. Our jury is going to vote for the best song, whereas most of the other juries tended to edge theirs on, a bit like in 2006 when they had the complete scandal. And so there was kind of one set of votes that could cost Julie the victory, and that could cost the Macedonians the victory, and they gave it. And that is why Julie ended up at Eurovision, because the Macedonians decided to be fair in Jugovizia and cost them their only entry for Yugoslavia.
So there we go. I'm not going to reveal the scores just yet, but they are written down. Second place going into the final full round was Keith Mills. All kinds of everything, Keith. Tell us something we don't know.
Tell you something that you don't know about Eurovision. That's going to be very difficult.
Doesn't have to be Eurovision. It's open round.
I will stick with Eurovision for the theme. And that is that everybody talks about when they think about non-European countries at Eurovision, they list Morocco and they list Israel, which are quite obviously outside Europe. But Azerbaijan is technically not geographically in Europe. And also, Cyprus is not technically in Europe. Yes, there you go. Now,
See, you know, that's the definition of something they don't know. The rest of the panel go, really?
Yes. If the edge of Europe is the Bosphorus, as we were told it was in Istanbul, Cyprus is way to the south and the east of that.
What about Iceland?
No, Iceland is part of Green. They say that the plate splits between Iceland and Greenland, so Iceland is one.
He knows the plates.
There we go. Obvious clue. We, of course, know that the definition of countries that can enter Eurovision is not on geographic boundary. It's on which boundary, Keith?
It's based on the EBU satellite link. So the EBU is given a sort of a patchwork of where they control. And so therefore Cyprus actually
rather original telegraphic lines that were decided.
And Council of Europe, because I do believe that Azerbaijan does not fit in to the satellite links. But because they're in the Council of Europe, they're allowed in.
Yeah, there was somebody, some website, nobody that here represents them, spread a rumour that Qatar was going to enter Eurovision. No, never going to happen, never likely to happen.
So that's one in your eye there, Rupert Murdoch. Yuha, tell us something we don't know.
Well, I didn't have a clear idea in my head. I have to stupidly admit that Luke gave me an idea what I could talk about. I could talk about the politics in the Finnish national finals voting and like something that people might not easily think about, the 6% minority, Swedish-speaking minority in Finland that seems to be very actively voting in the national finals. They usually always get their entries too as well. And this year is no exception. Alex speaks Swedish as his first language. But, of course, this was like widely liked by everybody else. But if people were wondering what that song that came second last year, whatever she was called, was doing in the second place, this is your explanation, what, because all the Swedish votes were concentrated on to this song. There are some years when Finland was struggling with the language, I'm going back to the language question, because after slating off Danish and not sounding nice, us Finns, we always thought that because we weren't doing well at Eurovision because of the language. And many and several times Finland tried to send a song in Swedish just to do better and hoping for at least some points from the Nordic neighbors. But it just never got to fruition. And then was it in 1988 there was a song by the producer of the day called Svartovit in was it 88? You like that, huh? And it was leading the voting right until the last minute when the jury from the northeastern part of Finland decided to give them absolutely nil point, and we ended up with a compromise that nobody liked. And this song definitely would have done the job much better. There's been a couple of times Monica Aspelund, 77, wanted to sing in Swedish, almost decided to sing in Swedish, but wasn't sure whether the backing singers could have followed her. She had decided, like in the last minute, not to do it, bottled out. 85, they wanted to sing in Swedish.
Look, right, going for the trip, I'm only at 1985. There's another 25 years to go. I get point for every year.
But when finally a Swedish-speaking song won in 1990, it was the most boring song, and not even the Swedes understood it was sung in Swedish because it was so muddled.
So there we go. You are telling us something that we quite clearly didn't know. I'm putting David into a little bit of a paroxysm of rage, and now he has to tell us something. David, you have a bit of ground to make up, and we don't have long left in the magnetic tape, so go for it.
Katie Boyle.
I know Katie Boyle.
In 1992, Katie Boyle came along to the Eurovision Network convention. Now, at the conventions in those days, we had a contest called Consong. Well, it became Consong. It was the convention song contest at that time. Very much a second chance thing like that happens like nowadays. I was always the presenter of these events, but Katie Boyle was coming along as our special guest. And Katie Boyle said that she would co-present with me, which I was absolutely delighted about. She sat down at the table next to me. We watched all the songs being performed on the big screen. What people didn't see was, though, that Katie Boyle was sat so close beside me. Halfway through the songs, she put her hand on my thigh, and as the songs progressed, Katie's hand got further and further up my thigh.
Do you want to stop here, or do you want to try and go for the victory?
That's where the story
ends. Did she go for the victory?
Oh, and there we go. Let's take those final scores there in a round. Modesty may well have stopped our champion scoring one from threes, one from four now, but David stumbles over the line and has 1 point. Thanks to that delightful little story. You had a storming run in the last round, but not quite enough. 20 up to 29 points. But going forward, and it is neck and neck, which the person in the lead gets to choose first or second. Keith Mills on 34 and Luke Fisher takes the main round victory on 35. And now it is in to defend the indefensible. And if you're from Radio 5 Live and you're an IP lawyer, don't listen to the next bit. It's quite simple. We're going to give you a statement. I'm going to give it to you. You have 20 seconds to defend that statement. You must agree with it. The person who puts up the most convincing argument or whatever else they need to do to get the victory will get the victory. Luke, you're in the lead going into the round. You have the choice of going first or second.
I think I'll go first, please.
Right then. So first up, it's 20 seconds. We shall set the Thunderbirds clock ready to go at the end of this phrase. It's very simple. I believe that the only country that can host the next Eurovision Song Contest is Australia.
Well, I think, first of all, we've got a lot of small countries in this year's Eurovision. Now, if San Marino, if the classy song was to come and win, they couldn't host it in Italy. Let's take it out to Australia. Why not? Secondly, if Serbia wins, there's such a huge population of Serbs, Bosnians, Croats, etc. If any of them win...
Time's up! There we go. There, thank you very much. Talking while the buzzer goes at the very end in a very, very strong defending defensible, full of facts, full of backup, full of justification. That's what we like to hear. Keith, this is a tough challenge.
Right, I'm ready.
Are you ready for this? It's 20 seconds. Defend the indefensible. The next person to be the event supervisor for the Eurovision Song Contest should be Barry Vinegar.
Well, he comes from the same pedigree that Sitzer, who has obviously advanced so far in the EBU network, has got on. He knows about the Eurovision Song Contest. He's made a huge network of friends. He has very good people working for him.
And there goes the buzzer right at the end. And it's quite simple. I'm going to go over to my... I'm going to go over to the lawyers. And I think it's pretty much unanimous in the studio, taking the victory and making sure that I'm not going to get sued. The international website winner of no points this month and this year's for the song contest goes to All Kinds of Everything and Keith Mills.
Thank you. It was tougher than you know.
Oh, I don't believe it at all. 1 minute. It only remains for me to say thank you very much to all the contestants here, from Luke Fisher.
Thank you very much.
From Keith Mills.
Thank you.
From David Elver.
Thank you.
And Yuharipo.
Kiddos.
Thank you for keeping the scores. Goes to Charlene Wright.
Thank you.
And thank you all very much for listening. Regular coverage will continue as always. www.escinsight.com. Links back to the websites of all our panelists and pundits will be on our website, so you can follow them through. We'll have links on Facebook, all of that stuff as well. We are off to find a party. You are off to wash out your ears. And Barry's away to go, that's quite a nice idea.